Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement and writing on the CGP's blog. We have a link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And the title of this post is "The GSA Schedules Program, the Keystone to Agile Acquisition." Roger, if we had a dime for every time we heard about agile acquisition in government, we wouldn't have to have this conversation. We could actually have it on the beach in Tahiti, probably. What is key about the GSA Schedules Program that makes it so valuable for agile acquisition? Thanks for being on, as always, Roger.
Oh, thank you, Francis. And yeah, I would love to be on the beach right today, actually. But fundamentally, it boils down to it is the premier commercial item acquisition contract in the federal government. There's thousands of contracts, literally millions of items on the contracts, and time and the flexibility. Although they're not as flexible as it used to be, but the flexibility of the ordering procedures in terms of creation of blanket purchase agreements has, over time, consistently been utilized by the federal government to implement key programs. For example, federal strategic sourcing is primarily based upon using the GSA schedules and awarding or establishing blanket purchase agreements for various products and services. You know, last year we had the wireless BPAs that were awarded. We have domestic delivery blanket purchase agreements that are strategic sourcing. The smart-based software BPAs that support DOD's enterprise software initiative and software purchasing across the federal enterprise. Those are just some examples where the government has turned to the GSA schedules to implement new programs. I could go on, cloud services blanket purchase agreements. There's a number of blanket purchase agreements in terms of being structured and utilized to implement new and different programs that the government, at least as an incubator, uses the GSA schedules as a first step. Often they maintain and use schedules consistently, but the lessons learned and the information they gain using the schedules, I think, helps inform procurement decisions, day in and day out.
This is, you lay out seven major types of BPAs in your blog post, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And you go on to mention it's a partial list, and there are a lot of other ones that people use for various other things. But you start this post out by writing about the request for information that 18F at GSA put out at the beginning of the month, asking about the agile delivery capabilities of vendors under Schedule 70. What did you take away from that RFI, and is it your sense that GSA is asking the right questions, that they're looking for the right information in this RFI, Roger?
The RFI, it's a request for information, and it's innovative in its approach. It's asking for, basically, I don't know if it's 500 words or a brief description of how you would implement agile development for a government system, and just to get the thoughts of companies of how they'd approach that. A little different thinking, almost a performance-based type approach of how you'd solve a particular problem, which I think the government, should embrace in terms of looking for solutions, not specifying a particular solution, but asking the private sector and commercial firms, how would you solve this problem on our behalf? And with the GSA schedules, there is that flexibility at the order level, at the BPA level, to construct something like this and get information and feedback. And they'll use the RFI to further inform the next steps that they take in establishing, a formal blanket purchase agreement for agile software development services. And, really it's the 18F RFI that got me thinking about this, that, as much as, and I'll be the first to say, we at the Coalition have made numerous suggestions and written white papers on ways to improve the GSA Schedules program. And our goal is, frankly, to build on what has been a very successful program, but needs, fine-tuning and basically tune-up because some of the regulations and guidance is outdated. But it's still at its core, you know, the, as I mentioned, the premier commercial item contracting program and the potential there to build on, you know, whether it's GSA Advantage, eBuy, the electronic tools GSA has invested in, the potential there to enhance access to the commercial marketplace, to deliver best value solutions to meet customer agencies' needs and support the American people. It's the potential still hasn't been fully achieved. And we see as opportunities working with GSA and OMB to further enhance and improve the program, and build on, you know, the government's use of GSA schedules for some of these cutting-edge programs.
Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, writing about the schedules program in the CGP's blog, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Why did you think it was necessary at this point to write this ode, essentially? It's very complimentary to the schedules program and some very constructive critiques of it. You did mention some of the things that you would like to see improved, and you allude to some of those in this piece. But why did you think it was necessary to kind of give the schedules program a shot in the arm right now, Roger?
I guess I go back to really, you know, the 18F effort, you know, sort of clicked in my head, and I just thought, you know, as someone who's worked in the government 20 years at GSA, for sake of full disclosure, and worked a lot on the schedules program, someone who's spent the last 8 years in the private sector, you know, working in government procurement, you know, it just clicked on me, you know, time and time again, historically, we've seen the GSA schedules program used to implement key solutions very quick, in a very quick, efficient, and effective manner. And I just thought it would be appropriate as we begin a new year and as we talk to government about how to enhance the program and improve it, to identify, you know, the basic strength of the program and how the government does, in fact, rely on it in many instances to implement some of the key initiatives, key procurement initiatives.
You do have a caveat here, Roger. You write, it's important to remember that regardless of the procurement tools, sound requirements, development, and communication between government and industry are critical to success. Those are two areas that you and I have talked about before, and we've discussed on this program with other guests many times. Is it your sense, are your members telling you that those two areas are improving, not improving, getting worse, holding steady? What's the trend that you see in here?
I think, you know, despite the Mythbusters memo that Dan Gordon issued and the emphasis on it, I think it's an area where there's still huge amounts of room for improvement on a part of the federal government as a whole. There's pockets of organizations that do a great job reaching out to industry, but there's areas where we're still seeing a significant reluctance on talking to industry about, you know, issues that affect both sides of the equation, issues about pricing, issues about terms and conditions that truly impact the nature of the, you know, of a contract between, you know, the government and, you know, and a private entity, and how to make those things better, more efficient, more effective, and have understanding on both sides. That can only be a win-win. And that is still an area where, you know, there's frustration in the private sector that I think there needs to be continued emphasis on that. I know Ann Rung is very focused on trying to continue to drive improvement in that openness and dialogue between government and industry, and we wholeheartedly support that effort. You know, on requirements development, I think the jury's out. I think obviously all folks recognize that requirements development is the key to achieving best value solutions. You know, the clearer the requirements, the sounder the requirements, the more effective the competition, the likely you have a sound business outcome at the end of the day. And, you know, we see some, I think there's potential for improvement to the extent, and I say to the extent, category management focuses on identifying, you know, best practices and strategies for acquiring products and services in various industry categories that the government is now, you know, sort of tried to develop or organize around. To the extent that focus on, you know, improving requirements development and sound business practices in procurement, that's a good thing. If the government continues to focus on trying to create these one-size-fits-all strategic sourcing initiatives, that's where the requirements definition breaks down. As I know we've talked about many times, Francis, you know, we see, you know, for example, using blanket purchase agreements for agency-specific requirements is a much more effective acquisition strategy because the agencies know their requirements. They know the time of year they're going to buy. They know their funding profiles. They can clearly articulate and make commitments that contractors can then better compete for, sharpen their pencil, provide a better solution to meet that particular unique need. Whereas, you know, these open-ended sort of strategic sourcing vehicles that are government-wide don't have the same definition by their very nature, and they never will. So it's much harder for companies to understand how to price those, how to compete for them, and what the ultimate return, because it is, they are for profit and they do have to make a return, and the risk there and pricing to that risk is a significant challenge.